Welcome to issue 211 of Critical Encounters, a podcast about Marvel Champions, a living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. Here, we take a good look at that most critical piece of the game, the encounter sets. We'll discuss those poorly understood fellas, unfairly labeled villains, and their various plans to shape humanity and benefit the planet, as well as those so-called heroes intent on thwarting them. I'm one of your hosts, Josh, and joining me tonight is Daniel.
Josh, what a delight to have you in the lair. Hello.
Wonderful to be here, brother. Thank you very much. And also with us tonight is Steve.
Well, hello. What a voice. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you all for having me here. I do not normally talk like that. That was for thematic.
We should have had you on for horror. Well, folks, obviously heard a new voice at the top of the show here. This is Josh from the Hills Have Nerds podcast. Josh, welcome to the lair.
It's an honor.
Why don't you tell the fine listeners a little bit about yourself and how they can find you and your crew out there on the internet?
Yeah. So my name is Joshua Dameron. I've been involved in nerdetry since as long as I can remember. And I'm one quarter of the Hills Have Nerds podcast. And what we do is we're just a nerd culture podcast. We kind of sit down once a month for the most part and talk about something we wanted to talk about that day. We talk about tabletop RPGs, JRPGs, books we like. We just had an episode on the MCU go live. And just anything and everything in between. Any kind of little topics surrounding nerd life and the stuff we all enjoy getting into. And we try to put our own little take on. I don't know if you can tell by my voice, but I'm from smack dab in the Lord's country in the hills of Appalachia of Eastern Kentucky, the land that God forgot to call back.
Never would have guessed that. Never would have guessed that.
Couldn't tell. Yeah, I hide it pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah, we try to put a little bit of an Appalachian spin on things, just our little take of it growing up. But what we really learned is, as we've been going through this, and we're relatively new to it, we just started back in May of this year. But what we've kind of learned is that, you know, Appalachian nerddom's the same as everybody's nerddom. We're just, we like stuff we like, and we're just trying to go through life and be happy and content and play our fun little games and make it to the end. And nice. You can find us on anywhere you find a podcast, you know. But we're on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, all that stuff. We're also on Facebook at The Hills Have Nerds. So you look for that. You'll find four boys carved out a rock on a mountain with a Pokeball in front of them, and that's us. You can find us there, and we'd love for you, anybody who's interested, to come give us a listen and come hang out and talk to us on Facebook. And we're looking at doing some new stuff to expand out this year. But we're like I said, we're still new to it, so we're getting there. We look for the great guidance of wonderful, forerunners in the business, such as yourselves.
Oh, golly.
Pressure. I will link the show, your show, in our notes so folks can find it. If they can't, I don't know, use Google. All right. So just a general podcast about nerds. I was listening to your MCU one recently. Yeah, it's fun. Folks, go check it out. But we know that you play Marvel Champions. So why don't you give us a quick, like, how did you get into Marvel Champions? Did you start at the beginning? What's your Champions history?
I wanted to start at the beginning. I saw that it was coming out, and I love superheroes. All right, I love supervillains. I hate superheroes. They're awful.
Thank you.
Horrible
close.
People.
That was close.
I rarely
nice
ever.
Correction there, Josh. Good job.
I ain't got nary one of them on the walls in my house, boy. Not a single one. But I've always been a big fan of it. And so when I saw that was coming out, I wanted to get into it. And again, I live in small town. The town I grew up in has 150 people, a stop sign, the post office. So we had, and that's it. About 30 minutes down the road, we got a little comic shop. And so I called them and said, hey, are y'all going to get this game? They said, maybe, I don't know. Whatever. So that went on. And then the pandemic hit. And at the time, I ended up moving back to Richmond. I was working through there. And found this little comic shop through there, and I was able to get into it just a little bit after the pandemic, about the time Guardians of the Galaxy's Most Wanted Okay. Came out. We found it. New shop had opened up, and the owner of it's a buddy of mine, and he had stocked it to the brim. And so I was able to get in there and get some. And so I've been playing since about there. And I got everything. I've spent way too much money on it. But I play, my wife plays, my kids play.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. The built-in game group. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Must be nice to have a family that cares about your endeavors.
I don't know if I'd say care about, but enables.
There you go. At least they'll sit around the table with you.
Yeah, I think they just want me to keep walking the dogs so they don't have to go outside.
Okay, well.
So they put up with that stuff. My wife's not the most extroverted individual.
Well, a card game is a perfect thing then.
Yeah, she loves it. Although Hawkeye's her favorite, so that's kind of tough.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can't have everything. She's pretty.
Can't win them all.
That was all that really mattered.
So, speaking about the game, Josh, so tell us about your favorite villain scenario that we've got here so far.
Oh, man. It's real hard. It's real hard to pick a favorite. I got to say Juggernaut. I'm a huge Juggernaut fan. Man, I like what he does. I like who he is. I like what he's about. You know, he's just a big guy, and he just plows through, just does his stuff. He's got his own code that he lives by. He just keeps going. He's the Juggernaut expletive, you know. Everybody knows the quote. And when they added him in with Next Evolution, I just love that scenario. It's it to me is what Rhino should have been. Just kind of that. You can just feel him, because if he gets that momentum on him, and once those momentum counters start going, it's real hard to break it. You got a lot that you have to do to pin. Now, if you can get him stopped and get him pinned down, you know, he's got some weaknesses. But, buddy, once he gets going, he's a hard nut to crack.
I know nothing about him, and I've only ever seen him on Deadpool 2 with his unfortunate demise.
Actually, I think is the best portrayal of Juggernaut outside of like the cartoons. Honestly, it's really good.
Yeah, it was sort of horrifying. But on the flip side of it all, we love beating on heroes here, Josh. What hero in the game do you most love to see face smashed by the villains?
Adam Warlock.
Oh, nice.
You said that Adam, so quick. Why?
Yeah, I don't like him. I think he's smug. I think his card art looks like Robin. I don't like it. My least favorite hero, and that's saying something because I don't like any of them because I'm a villain.
That's right.
Yeah. He's . Yeah.
That Mike's probably glad he's not here tonight. So excellent.
Yeah. Well, does Mike like Warlock or just the Magoos?
The Magoos, but isn't it the same physically, the same person?
The Magoos is fine. Now the Magoos is a good guy. That's all the earth. That Adam Warlock fella, I don't care much for him. Now.
It's like two sides of the same coin, though. Nobody's ever said that one. So I appreciate
that's great.
It.
Yeah, and the Guardians movies found the best actor for him.
I thought it was really good.
Because I can't really stand good. That guy since like a Narnia movie when he was Eustace or whatever. Oh, anyway. But he was great in the movie. I think I like him now. I'm over my dislike. But that's a great, great answer. Thank you. I don't think I've ever played Warlock. Have you seen?
You're not missing anything.
Oh, yeah. I've played him a bunch, sir. The Wild Tutor deck and I put together some... ones with some of the when you discard a card, you get a benefit, right? Digging deep and things like that, because some of his other abilities discard cards. So I tried to build one of those. It didn't work at all, which was great because he lost.
I think I was afraid of playing him ever since. I think he's the hero that someone built a deck that turned out to like 9,000 acrimonious comments about it for some reason.
That was Brian Lee's
turn. Yes. Yeah, the Wild Tutor one. Yep.
And I was just like, who are we? You know, I remember, I mean, Mike had to step in and say something to the folks. So, So I just leave Warlock alone. Yeah. Too scary.
So, Daniel, what are you ciphering on this evening?
Well, Josh, thank you for asking. An email. Steve, we got another email.
Ooh, good. I like emails.
It seems like these things are just flying into the inbox daily. This one comes from Mark S. I think I know Mark S.
Okay.
Well, I know that I know a Mark S. It might not be him. All right. He says, hello. I've been listening to your podcast since starting Marvel Champions in March 2020. So that's right around when you did, Josh, sort of, right? Maybe?
Yeah, probably right around
there. It's kind of right at the start of the pandemic. Every single minute I listened to was while walking my dog, a routine I kept up for almost 3 years until last January, when sadly my best bud was put to rest. To this day, when I know it would have been his walk time, I'm out on the street keeping his memory alive and still listening to your podcast. Thank you for keeping the great content going. Your love for this game is obvious, proven not only by your longevity, but by the extra effort you put in through skits, songs, and things such as last year's Christmas content. Your efforts are greatly appreciated, and I'm looking forward to your 200th episode and every episode thereafter. Mark S. Oof. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. And we are definitely sorry for your loss.
That'll warm an icy heart now.
Yeah. Apparently he did email us maybe 11 plus weeks ago. We're just getting into it now. Sorry about that.
No, but that's heartfelt, and we feel for you, Mark. Thank you so much for listening and for your kind words.
That hits close to home, boys. That's I got a 110-pound chocolate lab that's a horse that runs around, and that thing's like a child to me. So that I feel for you, Mark. And you're in our thoughts and hearts, brother.
Indeed. Now, Steve.
Yes.
We don't let just anyone in the door and for just any reason. So
you'd think we don't, but I don't know lately. Nothing against you, but man,
I'm here.
When we have such lovely people as Josh wander in, it's generally for something. What are we doing tonight? What's Josh here for?
Josh is here to do the lore on the Reavers modular set.
Well, that's a huge job.
It is a lot of characters, and he's gonna, give us the lore. We're gonna talk. We were thinking maybe we do some lore and then a card, but you know what? We're just gonna do all the lore, and then we'll talk about the cards tonight. So, Josh, take it away.
All right. So the Reavers have a rich and storied history throughout Marvel Comics. Now, when we're talking about the Reavers, we're not talking about the rapacious and ruthless Reavers from Josh Whedon's wonderful but canceled too soon sci-fi western Firefly, nor to be confused with the alternate reality Earth-691's future Reavers of the planet Arcturus IV. No, the Reavers we're talking about today are a mutant-hating group of pieced-back-together mercenaries turned cyborgs turned also steel mercenaries, equally as rapacious and ruthless as Whedon's Reavers, led by a good old boy from Kentucky, akin to yours truly. Now, the character, Donald Pierce, the leader, was born in Pennsylvania, but he runs a mining and research company in Kentucky, so I'm going to claim him, because we don't get a lot of villains from Kentucky. And the guy that played him in Logan is from my home area. Dude's name's Boyd Holbrook, and he's from Prestonsburg, Kentucky, and that's kind of my stomping grounds. My daddy ran a cobbler shop in Prestonsburg, Kentucky for many a year, so we're claiming Donald Pierce, all right?
Now, when we suggested that you do the Reavers, I didn't know anything about that. This is just beautiful happenstance.
This is serendipity. Serendipity. Yep, there it is.
Well, the Reavers first appeared in Uncanny X-Men number 229 in May of 1988. They were originally members of the Hellfire Club. They came about when there was this mastermind who's a mutant who manipulates people's memories. He was trying to control Jean Grey. Well, the X-Men didn't take too kindly to that. So they come on down, had to meddle in a bunch of stuff, and it was going well until they got there. But while they were battling it out, Wolverine had his mass increased by the powers of a mutant named Harold Leland. He crashed through the floors. He got real heavy, fell through the floors into the sewers in New York, and then was swept away, and he was presumed dead. Well, they sent a group of mercenaries after him just to make sure he was dead because, you gotta. Sometimes these guys come back. Right, we all know that.
Weirdly often.
Yeah, how many times have you tied somebody to a post with a laser beam coming up between their legs and then been like, yep, that's going to get him, and then you walk away, and by God, he gets out of that somehow.
Every time. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Make that fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. You ain't going to fool me twice.
We need better sharks.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That's the problem. It's the shark quality.
The sharks.
So they sent a group of mercenaries after him. These mercenaries included Wade Cole and Murray Reese. Well, those are names we can recognize from our encounter set. And they meet up with Wolverine as he's sneaking back into the Hellfire Club. And, well, they're just two mercenaries. And boys, you don't send two mercenaries to mess with Wolverine. He's, he's upper tier. We need some heavier hitters. That's why Harold Leland, we got the hang of him. We just got two mercenaries against him. They were summarily dealt with by the business end of his claws. Well, that's unfortunately. But it gets better because now we get to really get into the Reavers and what the Reavers are about, because they were recovered. Well, what was left of them was recovered. And they get taken to a place called the Body Shop. And this is ran by the six-armed sorceress and somebody we all know and love, an agent of Mojo, Spiral.
Oh, cool.
The Body Shop. That's
the perfect. Body Shop. That's so it's good. Got a it's oh, got a God. Slogan, "We'll make a new you." And this is a shock. It's on a sign out front.
Oh my God, I love it. Is all this true? Because I love this.
We're gonna have to put it to you, Daniel.
Okay,
absolutely. Oh my
God. This is like the made up stuff Mike makes me read.
Yeah. I was when reading through this, this would have been perfect for one of your all's like pawn shop episodes where you have people come in and do stuff with all the cybernetic enhancement that these boys get. Through this would have been perfect for it. So the Body Shop with the slogan, "We'll make a new you." This is a shop that specializes in cybernetically enhancing its patrons. So Spiral enhances these dudes with cybernetics. And that's when we get the first glimpse of the Reavers that we know and love. So these Reavers, along with, there's a third one there. We don't have a card for them. They set up shop in a place called Cooterman's Creek, Australia. It's Cooterman's Creek, Australia. Cooterman is not affiliated with the Reavers, nor Cooterman's Creek, as far as I know. They begin working with this mutant, Gateway, who can teleport people all over the planet, and they use him to get into banks anywhere in the world.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, I need to go back to Cooterman. Like, that's Dukes of Hazzard. I mean,
Cooter,
seems to fit right into the where Donald Pierce is from. I don't know.
I figure Cooterman's just a good old boy. Never made him no harm.
Never made him no harm. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But it beats, sorry to
interrupt. Oh boy.
Beats all you ever saw. He's been in trouble with the losses there.
Oh my God. This is Marvel's Dukes of Hazzard kind of redux.
Well, we got Enos coming out pretty soon in the next one. We just get us a Boss Hog and we're fit.
We're fit.
It's kind of Mojo, so he's kind of.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted, Josh. Keep going,
you're
please.
Good. You're good, bro. This is your show. I'm just a guest. So they set up in Cooterman's Creek, and they're just doing, you know, kind of banal stuff. They got this mutant Gateway who sent them all over the world, and they're just robbing different banks. And then some stuff happens. We're going to get into that as we go through the people individually, because it ties a little more to their individuality. But later, they get assembled into the Reavers under the leadership of Donald Pierce. That's our aforementioned good old boy from Kentucky, from Pennsylvania, but we're claiming him. And then they go on to have countless encounters with the X-Men, being one of their main nemesis teams. They have showdowns with Miss Marvel, the Punisher, the New Mutants, all kinds of. The Reavers are all over the place. But we can get into the members now, if that's cool with you guys.
Well, can I ask you a question? Like, in the comics, when do they show up? Like, what year? Like, how long?
80. The Reavers. Yeah, 88.
88? So, okay.
Yeah, the Reavers are older than I am.
Okay. Wow.
Wait, well, they're far younger than you, Daniel.
Far younger.
Far younger.
Interesting. Okay. So, all right. So in comic lifetimes, they're not that old. Okay.
No, they're relatively. Well, I mean, we're going on almost 40 years. We're 30.
Right.
35 years of Reavers.
Okay. Yeah. Some villains we talk about are like 60 plus or something. So, yeah. Okay.
Now we'll find out that Donald Pierce has been around much longer than the Reavers, almost a decade longer than the Reavers have.
So I made a mistake thinking that Donald Pierce was the same character as Alexander Pierce from the MCU movies played by Robert Redford. I kept thinking they were the same guy because you had like Crossbones and this as Bonebreaker, and I was confusing the two, so I'm glad that I'm getting my story straight here. So
Donald Pierce's, did you watch Logan?
Yes.
He's the guy with the metal arm in Logan.
Okay.
That's Donald Pierce. And then they had some of the Reavers in Logan, but they weren't really mentioned. They were kind of side characters.
So based on the art from the Donald Pierce card, was in the movie, was he played by Willem Dafoe?
He was played by Boyd Holbrook.
Oh, yeah, right.
A hometown hero.
Your hometown hero. Yeah. Boyd. Boyd must look like Willem Dafoe then.
He does not.
I think the art's too small for it to really.
Okay. You know, I need to.
Daniel and Art.
I need to see this movie.
You haven't seen Logan?
Logan?
What?
I have not seen single X-Men movie.
That is the best X-Men movie. It's
definitely, yeah. If you only see one X-Men movie, just see Logan.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
I don't think
Yeah, that's the origin story, right, for Wolverine?
No, it's the final story for Wolverine. Whatever the opposite of origin story is.
It was the R-rated one. It's amazing.
It's a swan song. Yeah.
All
right. Well, I mean, wouldn't you want to see all the other things before that to put it in perspective or no?
Maybe.
Honestly, not really tied. Alone. Yeah. I mean, you know who Wolverine is.
Yeah. But I feel like all that stuff's on Disney Plus now. So
I don't know if Logan is. Or a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't know if Logan is. Yeah.
So, anyway, that tangent, I apologize.
All right, Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about each character individually?
All right. Let's start with Bonebreaker. So Bonebreaker was the leader of the original pre-Pierce Reavers. These Reavers were defeated by the X-Men, and they ended up getting sent through this thing called the Siege Perilous. It's named after King Arthur's chair that teleported people around. It's a device that transported people to new locations, and it rejuvenated their bodies, but it seemed to wipe their memories out. Bonebreaker escaped. So the X-Men found them in Cooterman's Creek, Australia, due to some botched job they'd done. X-Men raided their base, put a stop to most of them. Bonebreaker escaped through the Siege Perilous, or escaped from going through the Siege Perilous. And he sought out Donald Pierce and another familiar name, Lady Deathstrike. And he was looking to them for help with reassembling the Reavers and defeating the X-Men. And Lady Deathstrike runs around with the Reavers constantly. She was a leader of them for a little bit. She pops up all the time. Donald Pierce had a thing for her, and we'll get into that. Wasn't the most, you know, requited thing in the world, but it was there. So he was looking for Donald Pierce and Lady Deathstrike, try to help reassembling and defeating the X-Men. And it was at that point, after he, you know, found Donald Pierce, that Pierce took over the Reavers to then hunt down the X-Men, because the X-Men, reason we'll get into this, Donald Pierce had been in a prison for a little bit. And when we talk about him, we'll go more into that. Now, they never did find the X-Men, but we get to see just how ruthless these fellows are. They did find Wolverine. Now, remember, Wolverine was the one who, you know, put the slice and dice of them boys back in the Hellfire Club.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they found him, they beat him half to death, and they crucified him.
Oh.
Cool.
Yeah. And they left him for dead, which, again, mistake. That's like the number one mistake these people make.
Well, especially with Wolverine. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they beat him half to death and they crucified him, left him for dead. But later he gets out and he comes back. And the Reavers end up just saying, okay, we're going on offensive against the X-Men. And they attack Muir Island, which is Moira MacTaggert's island.
Right.
I think I'm pronouncing this right. Muir Island. Muir Island. That's Moira MacTaggert's place, and they attack those X-Men. They end up killing. They killed Sunder, Stonewall, and Destiny. So they take a few of them out. After that attack, Pierce ended up creating that attack didn't go fully the way they wanted it to. He ended up getting kind of beat back, and they took some losses. And again, we'll get into that as we get on through these the members of the team. But after the Muir Island attack, when we're talking about Bonebreaker kind of had their moment in the sun of the bumbling minion variety. So Donald Pierce decided to create a pair of androids. They're named Albert and LCD. And Albert looked like Wolverine, and LCD looked like a five-year-old girl. The whole point of making them was to have Albert go out and do some stuff, pretend to be Wolverine, put LCD in danger, and then real Wolverine was going to see somebody pretend to be him, was going to come down and try to get rid of it, put a stop to it. And then he was going to have the two androids detonate, because he installed them with explosive devices, and kill them. Well, we put Bonebreaker in charge of some of that. And Bonebreaker accidentally gave LCD the maximum artificial intelligence instead of the intelligence of a five-year-old.
Oops.
Well, yeah. Oopsie indeed, Daniel. Oopsie indeed. And so Elsie then decides that Wolverine's a noble fella. So, I mean, obviously there's something wrong with this artificial intelligence, boys. It's gone bad. It's gone sour.
Quiet. It's listening.
and that the Reavers are the bad guys. So they don't detonate. They didn't do anything they're supposed to do.
Oh, okay.
Right. So Bonebreaker kind of gets, he's in the doghouse for a little while. And then later on, he ended up leading an attack on what he thinks is Wolverine. And this is, I mean, Wolverine is just the bane of Bonebreaker's existence, man. He's cut him up once. They finally, then he crucified him. Then he got out, and then he tried to stop him with the androids. Bonebreaker messed up the androids, and now he's finally going to go get him. But it's not actually Wolverine. It's an alternate universe Wolverine. And Bonebreaker killed a bunch of his friends, and that Wolverine got mad about it. And so then he tears Bonebreaker apart and stabs him in the neck. And, you know, that's the end of Bonebreaker. Uh-huh. At least that iteration of Bonebreaker.
Okay. I do have a problem with your story here.
Okay.
You keep just saying Bonebreaker, but I think you're supposed to say Bonebreaker or some sort of wrestling, right? Like, that's what it sounds like to me. The name needs some gravitas.
Bonebreaker.
Like yeah. That?
Yeah. Yeah, something yeah. like that.
Something like that. Okay.
Well, I've missed my chance. Opportunity's passed.
All right. We'll keep going.
Find some way to struggle through this turgid existence.
Well, there's the next guy, maybe. The next guy, maybe, too.
So one of the key points of Bonebreaker is all the Reavers have some type of cybernetic enhancements. Bonebreaker had their entire lower half on a motorized chassis that drove on tank treads.
Wow.
That was all the Reavers are some type of cyborg. So then moving on, we got Skullbuster. And so the Skullbuster that's in our encounter set, that's seemingly the first incarnation of Skullbuster. There's not a ton about Skullbuster through. Skullbuster's kind of a silent partner. He's got cybernetic legs. He seems like he was killed on the battle on Mirror Island. He later got replaced by Scylla Markham and then becomes a more talkative member of the group. But the original Bonebreaker is kind of a silent member of the team, wore a mask with a skull on it, kind of a la Crossbones type deal. But I liked him, man. He's not flashy, didn't mess up anything. He didn't put the wrong, didn't set the intelligence of the little girl robot up too high. He's just there to work and get stuff done. And I think we honestly all could be a little more, you know, we could use a little more Skullbuster in our lives.
That's a quality minion right there.
Just quality minion.
Yeah,
quality
absolutely.
Minion. That explains his scheme, which we'll get to later.
Yep. Okay.
You can conquer a county at least with that. Next, we got Murray Reese, and Murray Reese is kind of the same as Skullbuster. So Murray Reese was one of the original members of the Reavers before Pierce became the leader. He was believed killed when the Upstarts, and this is a group of young and powerful, wealthy people, most of them mutants, were playing a game where they gained points for killing difficult targets.
Yep.
There was an Upstart named Trevor Fitzroy. And he sent Sentinels to the Reavers base in Australia to kill Donald Pierce. Well, the Sentinels overwhelmed the Reavers pretty easily. And when Skullbuster and Lady Deathstrike realize, hey, now this is the Scylla Markham Skullbuster. When Skullbuster and Lady Deathstrike realize that, hey, they're only after Pierce, we can just kind of step out of the way. Well, that's what they do. Because all good villains have that strong self-preservation instinct. And so the Sentinels kill Pierce's men, that's including Murray Reese and Wade Cole, who we'll talk about in a second. But Pierce fled with the help of Getaway, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into Pierce.
The Upstarts, Daniel Fabian Cortez is part of them. Yes, okay. Which we have talked about. Sure.
Nice. All right.
Okay. All right, next.
Wade Cole. So Wade Cole, again, founding member of the Reavers. And he's also seemingly killed by the Sentinels that were sent by Trevor Fitzroy. Again, not a lot about Wade Cole. He's got a weird hat. That's kind of his thing. He died. Him and Murray Reese, that's kind of their thing. They died.
Awesome. He's got a weird hat and he died.
Yeah. I mean, that's, man, look at the art on the cards and tell me that's not kind of what you see. They got weird hats and then they die.
Then they died. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's on their gravestones.
That's it. I mean, no offense to Murray Reese and Wade Cole. They went out the way they lived. Weird hats, weird hatted and dead.
1988 to 1989. Had a weird hat.
Yeah.
Remember for that hat.
Wow. Okay.
And are they cybernetically enhanced as well?
George? All of them. All the Reavers. I think you got to have some cybernetic enhancements to be in the Reavers.
That's how you get in the club?
Right. And I think that's what those weird hats are. I think those are cybernetic enhancements. But they look like, you ever seen... like the helmet the Great Gazoo wears on Flintstones.
Ah, fresh air. It got a bit stuffy in there, you know. Now then, I suppose the usual amenities are in order. I am the Great Gazoo, the former headmaster scientist on planet Zetox.
The witch on what
The planet's... Oh, never mind.
Whoa.
Well, that's a deep cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what Murray Reese's stuff looks like. Wade Cole looks like he's wearing like a welder's mask that he just kind of found somewhere. And I think it's supposed to be, you know, cybernetic enhancements, but it looks like it's hand-me-downs from an uncle.
Yeah, okay.
I'm looking at his art, and it looks like a bad football helmet. I don't know what the heck's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. He had a helmet, and then he died, and that's...
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. May he rest in peace.
Wade Coley, hardly knew you.
We got Donald Pierce next.
All right, here he is.
That's our big boy. So Pierce initially showed up as the White Bishop of the Hellfire Club in Uncanny X-Men number 132. This is in April of 1980. So this is 8 years before the Reavers and over 100 comic books. So he showed up in the Hellfire Club. That's Emma Frost's club. But he secretly, Pierce is a genocidal mutant hater. And he's just infiltrated the Hellfire Club to kill all of the other members of the Inner Circle because they're mutants. He's also fairly xenophobic and bigoted. And he's got quite a bit of self-loathing due to his being a cyborg. He had some issues with some body parts, and so he got those replaced. And he constantly refers to himself as a half-man. Oh. Now, we're pretty desperate for supervillains to call our own down here in Kentucky. So we'll hand-wave a little bit of xenophobia and bigotry just to have one, but I don't know if we need to. We're evil, but we're not. I mean, come on, it's 2024. We're not going to be that evil.
Right. That's one thing about being a villain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because you're a bad guy doesn't mean you're a bad guy. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's the CEO of a Cameron, Kentucky-based company called Pierce Consolidated Mining. And I believe Cameron, Kentucky is a fictional town. I do believe I did work for Pierce Consolidated Mining back in the late aughts as a security guard, though. We had a lot of problem with small robots and young mutants coming in trying to steal the catalytic converters out of most of the cars up and around.
Oh, you should put that on your resume. We can bump you up a level amongst the minions.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And I hope that job is good minis.
I've been there, done that. Got stabbed outside of a bar in Mingo County, West Virginia.
And now you have a cybernetic kidney.
Yeah. So it's part of it. I'm just trying to get used to all these new upgrades I got running around on me. My treads go left and right, and sometimes I just get stuck, and I spin in a circle for 16 minutes. Once I get going in a direction, buddy, I can haul.
Okay.
So his plan, Donald Pierce's plan to assassinate the Hellfire Club failed, as all great villains sometimes do. It failed, and it happens to all of us. And he's placed in a secret holding facility in Kentucky, my old Kentucky home. And he eventually gets liberated violently from the holding facility, and we're never really told who got him out, but he shows back up later alongside Bonebreaker and the Reavers, and then starts his tenure as leader of the team. You really get like a solid answer to who got him out, but it was a violent scene, him breaking out.
Okay.
So he takes the Reavers out of the teleporting bank robbing business. And he gets them back into the mutant murdering side of things with a primary focus on the X-Men and Sebastian Shaw, because they're who kind of foiled his Hellfire Club issues. Sebastian Shaw being number one. Now, there's a lot that happens between then and the Sentinel attack on their Australian base, and it's mostly the Reavers trying to kill the X-Men and getting foiled or taking out a couple low-level guys. The Wolverine crucifixion kind of happens there between Donald Pierce breaking out and the Sentinel attack, as well as, you know, Pierce develops a crush on Lady Deathstrike. It's not reciprocated, as evidenced by her having zero problems letting Sentinels try to kill him. But he enjoys looking at her, and she finds him disgusting and loathsome.
Okay.
We've all been there.
Yep. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
Young love. He also gets beat up by Jubilee at one point. I don't know who. How are you going to get beat up by Jubilee? Sparkle fingers. Yeah, you got beat up by someone who got bitten by a radioactive sparkler. Like, come on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. he got beat up by Jubilee and then follows Jubilee and Wolverine, who got better from being crucified. He recovered. There's an analogy there somewhere, but I don't want to make that comparison. And they followed him to Mirror Island, where the battle that we mentioned during, you know, when we talked about during Skullbuster's thing takes place. We had a couple of boys die there. After that, he builds those androids, Albert and LCD. And we talked about Bonebreaker messing up that whole plan. And then that plot got foiled, like we said, by the bumbling Bonebreaker. But then back to the Sentinel attack. So all this led up to Trevor Fitzroy saying, okay, I'm going to kill some high-ranking members and get me some clout. And so he wants to kill Emma Frost and Donald Pierce. So Donald Pierce is the first one he sends the boys after, sends the Sentinels after. So the Sentinels kill, in quotation marks, because they may be dead, may not be. We know how this stuff works. Wade Cole and Murray Reese, them and their hats. And then Pierce flees through one of Gateway's gates to confront the, quote, person responsible for this. So he gets Gateway to send him to Trevor Fitzroy. Well, he goes and confronts him. But the Sentinels follow him. And so while he's confronting Fitzroy, Sentinels catch up to him. Bam, he's dead. But not really. Not really. They never are. You can't keep a good villain down. So he's currently resurfaced, and he starts putting together another mutant hate group, and then he starts throwing hands with a bunch of people. And it's never quite the Reavers we know and love, but it's still Donald Pierce. Yeah.
Okay.
Donald Pierce and his familiar level of family fun bigotry.
Okay.
So his abilities, he's got a cyborg body, he's got superhuman strength and reflexes, bionic senses, mechanical genius. At some point, he's able to create numerous types of energy. He gets the ability to technoform, which has to do with like Cable's technovirus. At one point, he's more machine than man, where it's just his head and the rest of him is a machine. And so as long as his head is intact, he can pretty well be put together.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. He gets mechanical regeneration, advanced technology, and he's incredibly wealthy and just darn handsome.
Wow. So I guess it makes sense that the most cyborgy would be the leader of this group. Okay.
Well, that's how you go up in ranks.
Yeah. Wow.
It's really the higher storage capacity for whatever RAM you have installed in you really like pushes you up.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
Well, that was great. That's some good lore. I mean, I didn't really know anything about these guys, and now I feel like I really do. So.
I didn't either.
Well, thanks for doing the learning for us, Josh.
Yeah. That's what I do, Daniel. Thank God.
But Steve.
Cards.
Cards.
Yeah, cards.
Well, we don't just tell stories for nothing.
No. We tell stories so we can look at the cards and know what we're talking about. So the Reavers is a modular set that comes in the back of the Rogue Pack found in the Mutant Genesis Wave. 8 total cards, 7 by tiles, and it is not required in any scenario, so you can play it anywhere you want. So let's see if it's worth playing with, shall we?
Lord.
I think Josh should take Donald Pierce to start with as the leader, and then we'll bounce back and forth. So
All right, Donald Pierce is a unique minion. He's 1 scheme, 1 attack, 6 health. He is elite with the Reaver trait. He has the keyword teamwork, Reaver, and he is villainous. He has a forced response. After Donald Pierce engages you, reveal the topmost Reaver minion from the discard pile. He has 3 boost icons.
Ooh. I'm confused. Why are his stats so low?
Because he's villainous.
He's villainous.
Still, he's the leader of a group.
Yeah, but sometimes you know how computer parts get. They're finicky.
Okay.
Get sand now, in there or something.
You know, my main question has to do with the art, fellas.
Okay.
What? Maybe I'm just not seeing it right. I'm on my little screen here, but what's up with the crosses behind
you? Walking
it?
Through a cemetery, man. They're like coming through Arlington or something, right?
They're not. That is, I believe that is when he was part of the Purifiers. And I think that art is from, I could be wrong.
Well, it's from a comic.
It is a comic. So, and you can see Skullbuster and Bonebreaker. You can see both of them in the art.
So at one point, Donald Pierce hung out with the Purifiers, and I think that may be part of that, or that was the reimagining of the Reaver outfits.
Okay.
Just kind of through that. I saw a little bit of that.
Those are crosses, right?
Yeah. That is the purifiers, yeah.
So okay. Are they part of, is that part of the front of a robes or something? Or is that a...
Kind of. It's like this tunic thing that goes over and kind of drapes down. Okay. Yeah, they're also known as the Striker Crusade. They're a fictional paramilitary terrorist organization. Not fictional. Well, this is real. Paramilitary terrorist organization appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics.
All right. Okay.
Enemies of the X-Men.
So, but the Christian symbolism is overt here. So
yeah, they purify. You got to have a cross if you purify something. That's just...
I mean, they crucified Wolverine, right? I mean...
They did.
Yeah.
Huh. Right.
Let's pause before we go. I'm going to bring us back to the card. Let's pause for a second to talk about this keyword teamwork, because now this is the second set that has teamwork on it that we have talked about. So
everyone who listens to us has listened to every episode, so they already know teamwork.
Yeah. I hope they're listening in order, but they might not. Let me read teamwork. Okay. Yeah, just in case. Okay. Fine.
This is Steve from the future. Everybody knows that teamwork is being changed. If you don't know that teamwork is being changed, you can go and check out the FFG article and or our most recent spoiler 208.5, where we talk about teamwork and the changes. But when we recorded this show, teamwork worked as follows. So we're going to just leave that in and let people listen to that. Thanks all.
And this is only the second time as well, right, that we've seen this. So teamwork trait, right? And in his case, it's Reaver. And it could say anything. Could be acolyte, brotherhood, I don't know, criminal, whatever they want to put into there, they can put into there, the designers. So after a minion with teamwork enters play and engages a player, if there's at least one other minion that shares the specified trait in play, each minion that shares the teamwork keyword with the same specified trait activates against the player it is engaged with. So long story short is, if you have a Reaver out and another Reaver comes into play, every Reaver in play activates. And you do that every time a Reaver enters play with another Reaver in play. So Donald Pierce, his force response, after Donald Pierce engages you, reveal the topmost Reaver minion from the discard pile. If that brings a Reaver out, because maybe there is one in the discard pile, both of those Reavers will then activate against you.
Mm-hmm.
So
They're brutal, buddy.
He will attack you, and so will whoever he just brought out. So
What makes teamwork so criminal is it happens during the encounter card phase, right?
Right. You are past the attack phase.
You've done all your defending. You think you're all right.
Right. Oof. He shows up. It's like a quick strike, team quick strike sort of thing. But it's an activate too, so they will scheme as well, right? Sure. Yep. Not just attack. Yep. And he's gonna get a boost card when that happens. So if he comes out early and there's nobody, you haven't killed any Reavers off yet, the heroes luck out. But if there's anybody in that discard pile, here come two attacks against you or two schemes against you. So
yeah,
they are particularly brutal in scenarios that have smaller encounter decks because you're more likely to cycle through these. And in higher player games,
right?
They're rough.
And it does say engages you. So if you were to use that get over here card, that would trigger it as well, not just when it enters play. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oof.
Well, hey, let's do some teamwork. Daniel, give us the next guy.
Skullbuster. Skullbuster is a 2-scheme, 2-attack, 5 health Reaver with the teamwork Reaver. Keyword as well, toughness. Force response. After Skullbuster engages you, place 1 threat on the main scheme for each Reaver minion engaged with you. 2 boost icons and a great, great flavor text. Who you gonna call?
Skullbuster!
I got a problem with the art on this card.
Tell me.
So you can see at the bottom of that gun there, he's got some kind of, his entire lower half is cyberkinetic, or is a cyborg.
Okay.
And you can't tell by the card. It completely cuts it off. The most important part of him being a Reaver is that he's kind of a robot too. He's a cyborg, and they've got it all cut off there. I just think it does a disjustice to Skullbuster.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise it's pretty cool. It's like busting out of the frame. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But yeah, you lose the cybernetic enhancement piece of it.
Yeah.
So, and they're none of these guys are traded Cyborg, which they could
be. That actually
be.
Is kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Okay, so he engages you. You put one threat in the main scheme for each Reaver minion engage with you, which is at least a one because he's engaged with you. So
possibly a two if Pierce has pulled him out.
Right. Okay. Two boosts. He's pretty solid. So toughness. All right, let's move on to Bonebreaker.
Didn't know.
Yeah. Whoa, unique minion with a one scheme, three attack, five health. Reaver traded the teamwork Reaver keyword, toughness. Forced interrupt after Bonebreaker engages you. I'm seeing a pattern here. Take one indirect damage for each Reaver minion engaged with you. Two boost icons. Okay. Three attack, which could go off at any time. One indirect damage automatically. Could be more.
Oh, these guys are tough.
And there's the art. You can see his entire bottom is like a little tank.
Yeah. Yeah,
He's sitting in his little tank and kind of drives around. That's what I got. I got me one of them. Spiffing.
Yeah. You can see him very clearly in Donald Pierce's art as well. So he's the attacky one. I mean, right?
Yeah.
He's the attacky one. Yep.
Not that they all attack, but his is a little bit heavier.
Skullbuster's the thinky one.
Yep. And let's see. Wade Cole's the helmet-wearing one. What's that one, Josh?
Dead helmet guy. I mean, Wade Cole. He's a minion. Unique. One scheme, two attack, three health, Reaver traded, teamwork, Reaver. When revealed, search the encounter deck and discard pile for a copy of the Cybernetic Enhancements attachment and attach it to Wade Cole, and then shuffle. Ooh. One boost icon. Boo.
Yeah, I mean, he is the, like you said, he doesn't really have much of a story, so, okay.
Yeah, still, he's a Reaver.
Language!
Yeah.
Sorry.
We'll talk about cybernetic enhancements in a moment. So he's a 1-2-3. He's the basic guy. I mean, the art's interesting because there's also another guy next to him wearing the same helmet. So that could be Wade.
Falling over. What's happening?
I think he's running that way. I think they're splitting up. The art's a little crooked, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe Wade Cole's the other guy running.
One's Wade Cole, the other's Cole Wade.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't put it past Marvel to do something like
right.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
The twins,
right?
Wade Cole and Cole Wade.
Well, now Josh, you gave Murray Reese and Wade Cole a pretty similar story in your lore.
Man,
let's see if your cards reflect that. So Murray Reese is a unique minion with a one scheme, two attack, three health, Reaver, teamwork. Guys, this sounds really familiar.
Oh, let's see.
Well, I can't believe his when revealed would be the same. When revealed, search the encounter deck and discard pile for a copy of Cybernetic Enhancements attachment. Why, that's the same thing.
Are we doing Mysterio tonight? Because I'm having some deja vu.
No, Daniel, this is different. Murray Reese's attaches a Cybernetic Enhancement to Murray Reese, and Wade Cole's attaches it to Wade Cole. There's
but you know what's great, Steve? Yeah.
They both shuffle. Okay, so they're identical. Different names.
They're the same. So it's great that from the story, from that lore that Josh shared with us, that these two dudes would be identical as faceless ding-dong mercenaries or whatever. That's great.
They had to do my boys bad like that.
Well, the designers could have just called it like Reaver Foot Soldier or a Reaver. But they gave them the names, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we got to credit them there. They're named.
Well, they were named. And it's on their tombstone, along with, a tilted, empty, weird
language.
God, I did it again, Steve. I'm sorry.
So, weird. I believe language is okay. We'll see if we both get
it. I was just going to bleep one of those, and I'm going to bleep all of them. Yeah.
I got excited. It's my fault.
It's okay. So, let's talk about the Cybernetic Enhancement card. So
we've heard a lot about them. There we go.
There are two of them, which is good because there's two guys who get them automatically. They are an attachment called Cybernetic Enhancements. They give them a plus one attack. It is a tech traded attached to a minion. Otherwise, this card gains surge. Attached minion cannot take damage. Okay.
Wait, what?
How
are Murray Reese and Wade Cole supposed to die?
Well, forced response. After attached minion attacks, discard Cybernetic Enhancements. Two boost icons.
Fine.
So they get to
inevitable.
They get to attack one time, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you could draw Donald Pierce, who fetches Wade or Murray, who fetches the enhancements, who attacks, then loses the enhancements, but it did get to attack. Yeah, right. Yep. I mean, yeah, for three.
If you're an alter ego, you know, Donald Pierce is still bringing those out, right? Because Engage works in alter ego.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So he's still.
Yeah.
And they keep those enhancements, and then they just stay on the board. And so, right. If another Reaver comes out, they're just constantly throwing that scheme out. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, the enhancement could go on any minion too. Mm-hmm. It's not like it just has to go on Murray Reese or Wade Cole. So yeah. It's just, they happen to get it for free. So yeah, that's a neat, it's a neat one. If it can stay on, it just protects them for an entire round. No damage at all.
Yep.
So yeah. Okay.
And I like that. It's not one of those things where you either put X amount of damage on it, disappears, or it absorbs damage once, right? So, like, it's there until they do something.
Yeah.
So, it's cool. Like, if it, you know, came up, you can't just, next hero phase, one person dings it, and the other person finishes the job. No, like, it's...
It has to resolve.
It has to resolve. That is so cool.
And I've seen this get put on a Nemesis minion. I've seen it go on some big heavy hitters before.
We had it go on the dragon.
Yeah, nice, right? I was going to say I've had it on Nimrod, who you can only do three damage to him a round anyway, so now he's out for four rounds. It's brutal. So
I love this set.
Yeah,
well, it's funny, like, that card is so much better on any other person but Murray Reese and Michael.
It gives them a little bit of notoriety. I mean, you got to worry about them. Like, yeah. You don't just swat them away. Like, Murray Reese and Wade Cole demand a little bit of respect, which, you know, I appreciate.
Well, I mean, they become a three attack minion. So yeah.
They should have had quick strike.
Well, they have teamwork.
So. That is quick strike.
Quick strike too.
Yeah.
It's like a worse quick strike. Or better, I mean, for us. Yeah.
Well, it's not quick. If they're the only Reaver, it's not.
That's true.
But they're not going to be the only Reaver because they got their tech that keeps them around.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And they stay around a whole hero phase, and then in the villain phase, do their thing and keep existing. So they're really around kind of two rounds, right?
Yeah, you're pretty well guaranteed to have them around for two rounds, probably.
Yeah. So, oof. That's a great, that might be the strongest attachment in the game for us, Steve.
If they're by themselves, they're definitely around for two rounds. Yeah. If they're not, then they're still, you know, swinging at you for three. They're taking something. You're going to know you fought them, right?
Right. So my only qualm with cybernetic enhancements is, shouldn't it be like a helmet in the art if it's going on these guys?
I mean, yes.
Cybernetic helmet.
not some new spine or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what he's doing in that art, but it ain't kosher. I don't think that's sanctioned.
No. Well, every bundle of mobs is trying to do something. Josh, what are these Reavers up to?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked, Danny. The Reavers, a side scheme, 5 threat, 3 boost icons with a hazard icon. When defeated, the player who defeated this scheme discards cards from the encounter deck until a Reaver minion is discarded, then reveals that minion.
Nice. It is good.
They just keep bringing each other out.
Gosh.
Yeah, you take the hazard or a Reaver. Yeah.
You want a chance for a Reaver, or you definitely want a Reaver.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
because that hazard is just making more Reavers more quickly. But then you defeat this, and it just goes back into a limited encounter discard pile. And
We got a good picture of Skullbuster's robot legs on there.
Yeah, it's good.
And the other guy too. Is that Pierce next to him?
I don't know who that is.
I mean, that's his whole body. Whoever the guy on the left is, his Pierce whole body is cybernetic. So
that might be Pierce. Yeah,
I think it is Pierce, but it doesn't quite look like his face from his art. But that's far away. Yeah.
There are more Reavers than are mentioned in the set. There was a couple others, but they kind of come and go, like most teams. It's not as important as Murray Reese and Wade Cole, though.
No.
Don't quite pack the paunch.
Those two are like the linchpins of this deck.
Yeah.
All right, so let's give it a grade. You know, we do our nice little letter grade. Daniel, you go first. Let our guests think
so,
about it.
It's so weird. Like, you just can't look at these guys, or even the set sort of. You have to look at it differently because of teamwork. And it's just like, this is bonkers strong, right? This has got to be an A. I mean, the boost icons are a little lame in the set, but teamwork is just killer. I
don't even know if the boost icon. Two of the cards have a three.
Yeah, well, I guess they're not that lame.
Three of them have a two.
You see one. You see one.
Yeah, there's a couple that are ones, but there's a bunch of twos. Yeah, there's a bunch. There's a couple threes.
This is hard. This is like, this makes maximum challenge to almost any scenario you might play. This is hard. I'm giving it an A. Yeah, total A.
Josh?
Having played this one several times because I enjoy it quite a bit, and then the people that play with me don't quite enjoy it as much. I got to say, it's brutal. When it hits, it's absolutely brutal. You play it against a villain with a small encounter deck like Magog, they are just coming out constantly. We played a four-player game against Magog, and these Reavers hit the table in turn two, and we had four Reavers out, one after another, and we got attacked like eight times. And it was just systematically eliminated. But if you play in a larger encounter deck, that kind of thins them out, and they can't really cohese.
Right.
So it's a little hit or miss that way, but it's still brutal. I mean, if they had a little bit, if each of them could search out the other ones, like say if one searched out specific other ones, like Donald brings out any of them, but maybe Wade Cole brought out Murray brought out Bonebreaker brought out Skull, but something like that, where you were guaranteed to get that teamwork activation each time, I'd give it an S. It'd be the hardest one in the game, hardest set in the game. But I gotta go A on it.
I think that seems fair. Yeah. I mean, there are five of the minions, so there's a chance they hit. The side scheme is bringing them out. Donald's bringing them out, so you've got a couple cards. So one thing it does lack is, and probably rightly so, there's no special boost where it's like, reveal this minion.
Yeah.
Like, right. That would just push it over the top, I think. So.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Teamwork's rough. Killer.
Yeah, we'll see how much they use it, right? We've seen two sets that we've talked about on the show. We'll see how many more times they use it. I hope they use it. I hope it's not every single modular, right? But it definitely, I think it's something that you can use. Or you could homebrew, too. I think if you could say, okay, I'm going to play with Iron Spider, Sinister Six, and they all have teamwork with each other, right?
Like, I always thought the Inheritors should have had teamwork.
Yeah, that would have been a good opportunity. So you could homebrew a little environment card. This is whatever modular set you're playing with. The minions have teamwork with each other.
Well, is there a thematic reason? So, like, do some villainous groups work better with each other than others? Like,
oh yeah.
So, you know, like, yeah, like there's been a whole bunch of traits, right, Steve and Josh, right, that speak of like villain groups, right? So, what is it about Reavers, for example, that would have teamwork and say Masters of Evil wouldn't, or all the other Brotherhood,
right? Like, right.
What is it that makes teamwork for these cats and not every shared trait?
I think I could speak on that. So, please do. I think what sets the Reavers apart in that instance where they have this teamwork icon is that they came out at a time in the game where the teamwork icon was a thing.
Josh, I was so ready for the way you started that. Oh my god, that was great.
Yeah, that's good. Oh,
so then there is no thematic reason or implication for why Reavers would have teamwork.
Two of them were going to let Donald Pierce get killed, stomped to death by Sentinels out in the yard.
Yeah, that doesn't sound teamworky to me. That sounds like anti-teamwork.
Albeit, two of them did sacrifice themselves for him. So.
Okay. I was thinking maybe they have a more of a military discipline mind. You know, we see it in the Acolytes, and they're all fanatics to the cause. So those types of things. And, I mean, criminal traded group, maybe they're just in it for themselves. The Masters of Evil, they're too self-centered sometimes, right? They're working together, but they really only doing it because the enemy of their enemy, that kind of thing. So
the means to an end rather than the bond of brotherhood.
Right. And Josh's answer.
that I think is the rightest answer.
Yes.
Circumstance, Daniel. Circumstance.
Yeah, sure.
Right time, right place.
Steve, I got a question for you. Like, what if folks want to tell us what trait they think should have teamwork? What would they do?
Well, what they would do first is they would go and check out Josh's podcast, The Hills Have Nerds, linked below in the show notes. And then they could send us an email about their favorite group that should have teamwork at criticalencounterspod@gmail.com. We're Critical Encounters on Facebook. You can find our YouTube channel, Twitch, and Patreon by searching for Critical Encounters Podcast. And on Discord, we are Vardane, Big Foam Loaf, Wandering Took, and Winkster.
Yep.
Josh, thanks so much for coming on. It was a pleasure to have you here.
What a ton of fun.
We'll have you back another time. So
you will be back in the lair, I am certain.
Well, I had an absolute blast. It was wonderful hanging out with you boys. I know they say don't meet your heroes, but buddy.
But meet your villains.
Yeah, you meeting them villains is a whole nother, that's a whole nother monster.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to the guys at the Gaming Company in Pikeville, Kentucky for our Tuesday Champions group and Nathan Varney, who I know is going to be listening to this. What do you think, buddy? Hopefully I did y'all proud.
Well, if you like our show, tell your friends. And if you don't like our show, tell your enemies. Bonebreaker, take us out.
Bonebreaker's ready.
Too scary.
Oh, he's what's the word? I just ate a sentence halfway through.
That's right.
Oh, God. And Steve, if you want to cut the whole thing about Willem Dafoe, go ahead, because I should have remembered Boyd.
Okay, I might.
Okay. I feel bad. Okay. Sorry, Josh.
Yeah, start listening, Daniel. Jeepers.
Talking Boyd Holbrook.
So
now.
Many.
I want so much Boyd, good stuff.
Although having Boyd mentioned twice is helpful for Boyd.
Oh yeah, because yeah, now
and I am often
talking about him on this show. He's made it now. He's made it now. Yeah,
he's got the Critical Encounters bump.
I'm often like the show's moron, so it would make sense that I would ask a question that had already been answered.
He's got the street cred because we talked about him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, that's why I wanted to be on there. Hail Hydra.
You don't want to do it some sort of folksy way like,
I can.
Howdy, Hydra.
Howdy, Hydra. Wow, Steve.
Okay. Wow. All right. Dance, monkey, dance. Make you little. Hit us with your folksy colloquialisms, huh? There you go, hillbilly.
Jeez,
I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it the whole show, right? I mean,
Fair enough. You're going to commit to the bit.
Once we started a bit, we stick with that bit.
All right, yeah, I'll do it like that. Howdy, Hydra.